Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Unapologetic Live. I'm your host, Amala Epinobi, and today we're going to be talking about what everybody's been talking about this past weekend, and that is the overturning of Roe versus Wade. I'm sure all of you have either very strong opinions about this, or at least something to say about this particular decision being made and being put out to the public, because we have seen quite a lot of responses in the wake of this news. Today we're going to be going through a lot of TikToks, Twitter responses, specifically from the political left and the progressive end of things, who tend to represent the pro-choice side of the spectrum on this, and we'll be going through and talking about some of the things that are being said here. It's been really interesting. I've seen some arguments that I never thought would have been made in connection to this issue in particular, but as we all know, on the internet, you're able to say anything, and you're able to say it as confidently as you'd like, and that's just something that we all get to deal with. So we are going to be going through and trying to debunk these as best we can as the show goes on and as we look through these videos. If you guys want to send me suggestions for videos that you think I should see, maybe I haven't seen them yet, put them down in the comments below, and let me know how are you feeling about the Roe v. Wade news. I'm sure there are conservatives or people on the free-thinking side of the spectrum who are pro-choice. There are people who think the Supreme Court should have kept Roe versus Wade. There are others that are pro-choice but think, no, the federal government does not get to decide. The Supreme Court does not get to decide. Let's leave that down to the states. There are those who are pro-life and say, even though I'm pro-life, each state should be able to decide. And then there are others who are pro-life and say, no, it should just be across the board. Abortion should be banned. So let me know which camp you are in. And I'm sure there's many others I forgot. There's a lot of nuance when it comes to this issue in particular. But as I said, I've been seeing a lot of people, specifically on the political left, making lots of videos, specifically on TikTok, about this issue, and we're going to go through some of these today. This first one is titled, Illegal Abortion is Due to White People Going Extinct. Here we go.
So today I'm going to be talking about the real reason the government wants to make abortion illegal and build a wall. An intelligent Jewish man named Ben Wattenberg wrote a book about this called The Birth Dearth. Take a look at this next video.
Now, white people are really frightened. If you don't understand the destruction of Planned Parenthood offices, and you don't understand the wall that we're going to build on the southern border of the United States, you haven't read the book The Birth Dearth by Ben Wattenberg. Ben Wattenberg was a brilliant Jewish man who was a member of the American Enterprise Institute, and he wrote a book, the first paragraph of which says, the main problem confronting the United States today is there aren't enough white babies being born in this country. He was an advisor to presidents of the United States. He wrote the book in 1987. He says there are, if we don't change this and change it rapidly, white people will lose their numerical majority in this country, and this will no longer be a white man's land. Now, I'm not misrepresenting this. I'm telling you exactly, almost exactly what he says. He says there are three things we can do to solve this. Number one, we could pay women to have babies, as they have been doing in Western European nations for years. Then he says, and these are his words, not mine, unfortunately, we would have to pay women of all colors to have babies, so we don't want to do that. He says the second thing we could do is increase the number of legal immigrants that are allowed into this country every year. Pause. And once again, he says,
I already know the argument that's going to be made here, and I am sure. I am, in fact, I'll approach this with a degree of certainty that these exact words were said and stated in this man's book. And I will go even as far as to say that there are people present in today's day and age who do hold a pro-life view because of arguments like this. Because they think, well, I don't want my race to go extinct, therefore we need to make abortions illegal if we can in whatever state that we're in. I will posit that there are a unique a group of individuals who truly believe that, and that is their motivation for being pro-life. However, do I think that's the majority of people, of even white people, who are pro-life in this country? No, I do not think so. I do not think that there are a majority of pro-life people going, well, the only reason I'm pro-life is because I want to preserve the white race. Whether or not that's a subconscious thought or a conscious thought that they have, I do not stand by that. And what is even more interesting about this is we have in the beginning, what is a young black female making this argument and saying, again, here's the title, illegal abortion is due to white people going extinct. Well, you know, if I was a white person trying to keep my race alive, I'm not sure abortion would be the issue that I go after, considering that black women are about four times more likely to get an abortion than white people are. And you can go through and look at the stats on this. It's been studied on numerous occasions and found to be true. Let's read right here. So apparently there was a study done in Pennsylvania, a case study, where they looked at the premature deaths of white individuals and the premature deaths of black individuals. In the year 2018, there was about 61,000 premature white deaths and 21,000 premature black deaths. Abortions were 23% of the white deaths, of the premature deaths, and 62.7% of the black deaths. That's a large disparity right there. Now let's read up a little further here. So James Studnicki is the last name, and two co-authors cites data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to note that the black abortion rate is nearly four times higher than the white rate. Between 2007 and 2016, the black rate declined 29% and the white rate declined 33%, meaning that the racial disparity actually increased rather than decreased. Justice Clarence Thomas, concurrence in 2019 abortion case, observed that there are areas of New York City in which black children are more likely to be aborted than they are to be born alive, and are up to eight times more likely to be aborted than white children in the same area. So, gonna go out on a real thick limb here and say that if I were a white supremacist, maybe abortion would not be the first thing that I go after when it comes to preserving my race, considering that that would result in more black children being born alive than white ones. So you're going to probably hear this argument a lot. And I actually think there is a clip of a politician saying that this is some sort of win for white life. I believe that is something that actually happened. I don't know the woman's name off the top of my head. So while I will say there are a small group of delusional people who might agree with that, that is by no means an encapsulation of what the pro-life argument is here, considering when we look at the rate of abortion, it is disproportionately affecting black lives in this country. So I think we got one drop in the bucket for debunking that one, and I'm sure you guys are going to see it a lot. So hopefully now you're armed with the facts. If you want to look up this article in particular, it's with the Wall Street Journal. It's called Why Won't the Left Talk About Racial Disparities in Abortion? And it's written by none other than Jason L. Riley, who's actually a PragerU contributor. He's been here. He's done numerous five-minute videos with us that you can look up. One about Tom Sowell that is absolutely fantastic. Now, let's move on here. Here's another one that I've seen on TikTok. This one has 300,000 views, and this is the woman making a case to hopefully sway men in the direction of being pro-choice.
Religion aside, politics aside, I'm going to put this into the perspective of a man. Maybe I can change someone's mind, change some man's mind, if I put him in a scenario that he easily could possibly be in one day. Let's say you and your wife have been wanting children for years and years. You finally save up the money. You get fertility treatments. Finally, she gets pregnant. You're excited. You're happy. You're ecstatic. You can't wait for this new chapter of your life. First ultrasound, you find that your wife is having an ectopic pregnancy. If you don't know what that is, that means that the fetus has implanted itself into the fallopian tubes instead of the uterus. And if you do not know, your fallopian tubes are about that big and are not meant to stretch and compensate for a fetus.
Pause. I need like an alarm sound, like a wee wee wee, every time I hear a disingenuous argument that is coming up the pipeline, because we have one coming up the pipeline now. If you get an ectopic pregnancy, like she said, a child implanted really in the fallopian tube rather than the uterus, guess what? Odds are that child is not going to live. I think there are very few cases where a viable life has been produced out of an ectopic pregnancy, and sometimes that is through actually going and transplanting the child from the fallopian tube to the uterus. So if you have an ectopic pregnancy growing in your fallopian tube, not only is that child likely going to die, but if not treated, your fallopian tube can burst. This can cause hemorrhaging, which blood loss, things like that, and you can die as well. So when you find out you have an ectopic pregnancy, you go through a medical procedure to remove that child from the fallopian tube, and some women actually have to get their fallopian tube removed in itself, the entirety of it removed. That is simply treatment for a non-viable pregnancy. It is not the same thing as having a fully healthy child implanted in the uterus and going, you know what? I don't want this child at the moment. This is not the right time for me. I don't have the finances for it. I'm not in the situation that would allow me to parent this child. I would like to receive an abortion. Now, some medical practitioners are going to hop on TikTok and go, well, it is an abortion. If that child has a heartbeat in the fallopian tube, then that is technically an abortion. But if you look at states, even states like Texas, where they're saying after 6 weeks, after a heartbeat is detected with your child, you cannot get an abortion. Even states like Texas allow for treatment of ectopic pregnancies. So what we're seeing now is a bunch of left-leaning people or pro-choice people. I'll even go as far as to say maybe they're not even left-leaning. Maybe they just simply are pro-choice. But they're hopping on and doing what I consider to be fear-mongering, which is putting a situation that is completely out of the hands of a woman, like an ectopic pregnancy, and going, this is what you are going to be submitted to. A medical practitioner and the states that are making these decisions, by and large, are not going to have a woman with an unviable pregnancy that is not only going to result in death of baby, but death of mom. They're not going to go, you're not going to get the treatment for that. We're actually going to allow your ectopic pregnancy to continue growing until, I don't know, you die. So what is the goal in using what is a disingenuous argument like this on a platform like TikTok? It's to fearmonger people into supporting your side of the argument. But I will give the benefit of the doubt here and say maybe this is just somebody who is ill-informed as to what the treatment is for ectopic pregnancy and as to what states are going to do when it comes to ectopic pregnancies. I'm seeing a lot of misinformation confidently being spouted out on these apps as a means to bolster these arguments. And that's wrong. That's wrong. And before we move on to any other videos, I hope that anybody who has a super, super strong stance on this issue approaches this by trying to understand why somebody would think the exact opposite of you. And I hope, just in baseline, as a common ground argument, we can all agree that abortion is a horrible decision to make for anybody. Abortion is a horrible thing. And for the past, I don't know, 50 years that we've had Roe versus Wade, I would say most women who go into these clinics in order to receive an abortion are making what is a tough decision for them. With that as our common ground, maybe we can get into the arguments of whether or not that should be a decision for people. And is there gray area for that? Are we actually going to look at instances of forced pregnancy? Because you know a lot of people on the left like to say forced pregnancy. The only instances where I see something like forced pregnancy would be rape and incest. Is that an area for you where you allow a little bit of leeway, where that would be something where at least a discussion should be had about treatment going forward? Is medical necessity or a threat to the mother's life, which happens very, very rarely, is that a situation for you where you think the discussion requires a little bit of nuance and maybe some leeway for women in these situations? These are all things that we can decide, but we should have the common ground that abortion is not a great decision to make, because I'm seeing people on the right end of the spectrum going, look at these women who just love using it as a contraceptive and they think it's the most amazing thing and they're cheering it on. And then I see a few fringe women on the left who are treating abortion as like this celebratory, it means nothing, it's such an easy decision thing. There is so much on the spectrum of this one issue that we could be sitting and looking at crazy videos and going back and forth for hours and hours and days and days and months and years. So I hope we can all approach it with a little bit of nuance, trying to understand the side that disagrees with us, because this is a very, very difficult issue to come to a consensus on, which is exactly why Roe versus Wade should have never been ratified in the first place. Anyways, let's continue. Here is the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, and this is a man who is going to give his opinion on this.
Ladies, today you are going to be angry. You are going to be filled with rage. You are going to want the entire world to burn down, and I'm here to tell you, good. Good. Do not apologize for how you feel. Do not apologize for how you speak. They have taken away your right to be a human being, so you have permission to take away their right to have a voice.
Come on, taking away your right to be a human being. Do you know what that sounds like? Wee, 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 a disingenuous argument. It sounds like a disingenuous argument. In fact, there's nothing more human being when it comes to being a woman than having a child, really. That is a very clear distinction between me and Taylor, is that I'm capable of having a child and bearing one, while Taylor, I don't think you're capable of doing such things.
As far as I know, no.
As far as you know, no. So to say that overturning Roe v. Wade is taking away somebody's right to be a human being, this is where we get into trouble, because we're not being honest. And again, another fear-mongering phrase to get women and people who support the pro-choice end of this argument to be angry and to go protest the Supreme Court and to get on the internet and say these exact same things over and over and over again to no avail, because if we cannot have a real genuine conversation about it, we can do nothing. Let's continue.
They are soulless. They are less than human. They have no right to speak. They have no opinion in the matter. Do whatever you have to do to make yourself feel better. And when you're done, pick yourself up and we are going to do this together. We are going to fix this. No matter what it takes, no matter who gets in the way, they are not going to get away with this. It's not going to happen. They're mad that their dying religious world is slowly decaying and it's not going to exist forever. And they're so afraid of death, they're willing to sacrifice your life to preserve their idea of immortality.
I need to listen to that last part again. I just went on a roller coaster I don't even know what.
Slowly decaying and it's not going to exist forever. And they're so afraid of death, they're willing to sacrifice your life to preserve their idea of immortality.
They're so afraid of death that they're willing to sacrifice your life to hold together their image of immortality? Okay. We just don't want children to be killed unnecessarily. I think that's pretty much what the argument is. And I am coming to the table being mainly on the pro-life end of the spectrum, I think, with nuance towards situations like rape, incest, where the mother's life could possibly be taken. I come to the table without even being religious and saying, no, this is just a purely scientific, moral question that we need to be asking ourselves and coming to the table with answers for. And when you just make it, oh, well, it's just the religious right trying to bolster this. It's not, though, because there's people from all across the spectrum. I just spent the weekend in Denver at a convention for objectivist Ayn Rand fans, people who are largely secular. All of them, for the most part, were in support of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, even some of whom who were pro-choice and would love to see their state legalize abortions, were still in favor of Roe versus Wade being overturned. Why? Because it puts the decision back in the hands of the states, back in the hands of your elected representatives. You did not get a say, really, in who sat on the Supreme Court. You do get a say in who represents you at the state level, and they get to decide what abortion looks like moving forward. Some states will ban it, some states will have restrictions, and others it will be whenever you'd like the state of California most likely will be. This is good for you, really, no matter how you slice it, because it is the most democratic option that we can have going forward. And I made a video about this earlier. You know the people who agree with me? Liberal law professors. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, even though a pro-choice advocate, watched Roe v. Wade happen, saw the case and everything, and went, nope, this is not a strong enough case for the Supreme Court to be able to decide that this is a constitutional right for women. So the deck is stacked against the people who are really angry about this decision happening. And I think what is driving most of the anger, the vitriol, people who are screaming in the streets, is simply a lack of education, of understanding of what this actually means for the future of women's lives, for the future of our state legislatures. It's really not the craziest thing in the world, yet we are all acting like chickens with our heads cut off. Let's move on to this one. And this will get me into a different discussion about sort of the people who are the loudest when it comes to what's happening right now. This is quoted, she writes, me, a woman watching Roe versus Wade get overturned and realizing this is exactly how The Handmaid's Tale started. For those of you who don't know what Handmaid's Tale is, basically women are property and it's this full force patriarchal dystopian society where they are held down by the oppressive male forces. And the reason I highlighted this TikTok, even though it's about 6 seconds long, what I picture in the background of this being filmed is this girl getting ready, turning on her TV, finding the specific part of CNN News she wanted to watch, turning on the LED lights behind her TV, finding the perfect bit of little movie soundtrack song that she could use, turning dramatically towards her camera. I bet she filmed this probably 20 different times to get the exact look that she wanted. And when I look at the pictures of the people out protesting right now, and I see their signs, some of their signs have jokes on them. And little riddles and rhymes and song lyrics that they're putting on these posters that are meant to mean something, that are meant to mean that you are outside the Supreme Court standing up for your right. A joke, a little pun, a rhyme. These theatrical TikTok videos that people are making are meant to be a representation of you standing up for your rights. It's theatrics. And I'll say the same for people on the conservative end of things, some of whom are out on the streets screaming for joy about this in a very disingenuous way. A lot of people, I think, are sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for the next salacious thing to happen, waiting for the next news cycle to pop through so they have something else to scream about, something else to tweet about, something else to make a sign in protest for, some other police officer to scream at, to go and provoke violence and make things happen in the streets because they get off on it. Honestly, they love the drama. They love the feeling that they are part of a society that is creating stuff that we've never seen before, that is engaged in a battle that we've never seen before. And they love the theatrics of it. They love the drama of it. That's why when you're protesting for your right to an abortion, you're writing song lyrics and puns and jokes on your posters, while you're looking for the best Instagram photo to make sure you look like this badass woman who's fighting for female rights. It's theatrical. And a large part of why I know this is because I used to be engaged in it. And I know that people are going to hear that and go, how dare you say something like that? How dare you say that we are fighting for our rights for the drama of it or because we like the thrill of it? But you do. You do. Because I imagine people on both sides of the aisle feel it. And I know that I felt it when I was on the left. When you get to go to a protest and everything is so dramatic and the police line up in front of you and you get to stand there and scream at them, you feel on top of the world like you're doing something that truly matters. And some might actually think that and might actually think they are. But there are others that just love the feeling of taking to the streets and being able to scream. And that's why when this all dies down and we get the next issue that people are meant to be mad about, people are going to in lockstep do the exact same thing. And their signs won't be serious. Their slogans won't be serious. It'll be another joke. It'll be another rhyme. It'll be another thing that we can take Instagram photos of and post so that in 30 years, when they do eventually have their own children, they will show their kids and say, look what mommy did. Look at this beautiful picture of what I did, and this TikTok that is just overly dramatic and all the lights are on and I know it was filmed probably 20 times, just perfectly encapsulates exactly that. Now, I have a history of being banned on TikTok. I've been permanently banned off the platform about 4 times now. I just got out of a temporary ban, which now I'm spending my time going through all these TikToks and debunking a lot of the things and the arguments that are being said. But while I get banned off of TikTok, really, at a moment's notice, for any given reason, here's what's allowed to be on the platform. This has 1.1 million likes, titled, Politicians Aren't Just Getting Shot and Killed Like They Used To. Chrissy, wake up! I don't like this! Chrissy, wake up! Chrissy, wake up! So, you can actively call for violence against these Supreme Court justices. Here's what the caption says, the Supreme Court shouldn't even exist. And again, politicians just aren't getting shot and killed like they used to. And if you go into the comments, it's just people echoing exactly what's being said here. They've become too comfortable. Manifesting 5 openings on the Supreme Court soon. Hi. Do you want to come on in for a second? We're totally live, but you can come say hi.
Please do.
Just hop on the mic real quick. You got anything to say?
I just want to say what up and keep listening to Amala.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Have a good one. Yeah, okay, well, that was just John Isaac just casually strolling on to
NBA
the
player strolling around the Prager U offices. It's casual.
Yeah, just nothing much. Anyways, I'm going to try to get my brain back on the same wavelength where I was.
We're talking about a TikToker calling for death to the Supreme Court justices is where we were.
Yes, that's where I was. Let me get back into my serious conversation. Yeah, so you have a young woman. I don't know what I'm doing with my okay. This lady, I don't even know how to get back into serious conversation after that. But anyways, this is seriously what is allowed on TikTok. Yet my profile has been banned on numerous occasions for saying what? Like for saying I'm not a victim or for saying maybe men are men and women are women. And that is just the reality of the situation. So those videos get taken down and they get taken down with the accusation of being filled with hate, of bullying, of hate speech, as I've so often seen. Yet this, a woman saying politicians just aren't getting shot and killed like they used to, is allowed on the platform. Not only is it allowed, it gets 1.1 million likes. And we're the violent ones, right? We're the insiders. We're the insurrectionists. We're the ones who need a January 6th commission to come through and investigate and to put us away in jail and make sure, you know, that we are constantly being surveilled at any given moment because we might want to overthrow the government. We're the ones who want to overthrow the government. Not the young women calling for politicians to get shot and killed. And we're going to see more evidence of this as we go through these videos that we've compiled for you. But this gets to exist. This is totally fine. Taylor sent me a video the other day that showed each of the Supreme Court justices' faces and their addresses on TikTok. People could put your address out there as a Supreme Court justice and call for acts of violence against you and yours. And that's totally fine. Because it's all in the name of women's rights, right? We're totally fine with vigilantism. We're totally fine with inciting violence. We're totally fine with overturning and overthrowing governments. We're totally fine with burning things down. We're totally fine with abolishing systems and institutions when it supports the agenda that we like, right? When it sounds good. When it's covered in little pink and red signs and people are wearing their cat ear hats and marching in the streets and screaming in the name of women's rights, it's fine. God forbid somebody with conservative values says something like fight like hell, because that gets you put in prison. Let's continue. Here's another one. And let's see what she calls for when it comes to the Roe v. Wade decision.
I don't know if anybody's told you this, but it's written in the Constitution that if the citizens of the United States don't think that their government is fit to run, we can overturn it. Know your rights.
Know your rights, ladies and gentlemen. I would love to go back and ask this woman how she feels about the people who were at the Capitol on January 6th. What do you think about that? Is it then an argument of know your rights? Is it then, oh yeah, we totally get it. You're allowed to overthrow the government, even though that's not what they were doing whatsoever. They were just having a protest regardless. It's suddenly okay when things aren't going your way. And by things aren't going your way, I mean they are going your way. Your state gets to decide and you get to elect the representatives that make your laws. That is where we're at. So there's 1,000 of these videos on TikTok. I know some of you refuse to be on the app, and I mean, kudos to you. Good for you. Your lives are probably much happier than mine. I've spent the entire day looking through my phone today and going, I just can't believe I'm hearing this right now. And Taylor, I've just been subjecting Taylor to every single one of them.
And it's been great. And so far, you've done 2 TikToks today, mm-hmm. debunking some crazy arguments that you've seen or just, and I think we're going to do more after today's show. So if you're not on TikTok, we'll probably post those on the YouTube channel as well.
Yeah.
As many as we can.
We will go through them and talk about them. Here's another one. Is this from Libs of TikTok? Ah, no, Ian Miles Chong. So here we go. This is titled, Are These People Okay?
Yeah!
And again, I'm going to approach this with nuance. This is like the extreme, extreme, extreme left of this argument. And you have to think that in between all of this, there's like 70% of people who are going, oh my gosh, this is crazy, you know? And I bet a large portion of those 70% are just like, you know, I just, you know, I know it's a hard decision. I just want women to be able to make the decision. And the other people are going, I know it's rough, but I don't think you should be able to do that, you know? Those are the people that I think we should probably be giving more time to and more voice to, and we are on this channel, and you can go through and look at what my other commentary is on Roe versus Wade and this whole overturning, but we also need to see this. Because you're not really seeing this on the side of people who have lived through Roe v. Wade for the past, what, 50 years and have been fighting against it. You know, organizations like Live Action who have been saying this is not okay. You don't see them hopping on screaming and all this stuff. But this, the extreme sides of this are just blowing my mind. And all over what? Like I said, the tough situations, the rape, the incest, the medical necessity, that is tough, that is hard, it will always be hard. I would never wish that on my worst enemy. It's got to be a horrible situation, which is why I think discussions are needed for those situations. But a lot of this, a lot of abortions, just surround people being reckless and putting themselves in a situation that they don't want to be in. But who put you there? Because I see a lot of people on Twitter going, how dare you force pregnancy on women? Wait a second. Whoa. Forcing? Who forced the pregnancy onto this woman? Who exactly did that? Nobody. Nobody really forced this pregnancy onto you outside of those cases, which we've already said require a discussion. So where's the forcing coming from? Because I've seen so many people use that as their argument. I'm not forcing you to get pregnant. I didn't force you into the situation where you now have a positive pregnancy test. You put yourself in the situation by doing what you did prior. And we as a society have built all these safeguards surrounding pregnancy and have really put the ball in the court of women to truly decide when it is that they would like to be pregnant or engage in the activities that could result in pregnancy. And yet, hand over fist, they still engage in it. They get pregnant, and they have the out that is abortion, or they did under Roe v. Wade, and they will continue to in many states. Let's let that be common knowledge as well. Most states are going to allow for abortions to happen, and you can go to a state that supports your values, which is what basically people are already doing anyways. We unfortunately live in Los Angeles that does not support our values whatsoever, but we exercise the right to move at any point that we want to. And people can come here. And I do believe that California as a state is just going to become a haven that women go to in order to receive their abortions. Now, is that going to be legal? Yes, because the states are going to be able to decide. And that's the future that we're going to have, where you elect your representatives and your representatives build a state that hopefully reflects your values. And if it doesn't, you can move to another one. So let's continue here. What else do we have to look at? Here's a tweet. This one got 245,000 likes. Has anyone considered that maybe the Constitution is bad? I don't even know what to say to this.
It reminds me of that MSNBC contributor who goes on and just goes on these rants about how the Constitution is this horrible document because it was written by white men who own slaves or whatever. But the fact that that has enough traction, that sentiment has enough traction to get on national television and to go viral on Twitter is a scary thing.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. So many people do not understand what the Supreme Court has even done in this situation. They don't understand that it's being the decision is being delivered down to the states now. They don't understand why you would need constitutional backing for the Supreme Court to make a decision like this. They don't understand that the Supreme Court invalidated the abortion laws of 49 different states when they decided on Roe versus Wade. And even more so than that, they don't understand why the Constitution would be important or what even the history behind the Constitution is. And that should be concerning because when we deviate from our history or at least blur the lines of knowledge when it comes to our history, it's going to die out. And you are going to have this generation of people who do not value it and do not value it in a sense that when things like this happen, they move to destroy it. They move to abolish it. So if we do not reinvigorate the education surrounding our Constitution, our Founding Fathers, the Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights, and why these things exist, why they are important to us, how they protect us, unlike any other citizens of any other country, we are in for a lot of trouble. Over the weekend, as I said before, I was at a conference called TossCon, which you all should look up and see if maybe you can look at the speeches that were held there. But I went and spoke and told my story. And afterwards, I went to meet everybody who would come out and take pictures and all this fun stuff. And a lot of international students had come to the conference just to learn about capitalism, about Ayn Rand, objectivism, woke ideology. Ayaan Hirsi Ali was there. Yanmi Park was there. And among these international students were people from Brazil, people from Ukraine, people from Germany. And they all came together and we were talking about the different issues that our country faces. And a lot of them are very similar. In fact, many of those countries are far worse off than we are. And they're talking about all these social issues that they're facing on a daily basis and how their government functions. And the through line for every single international student that I talked to about the different issues their country was facing was that they did not have the constitution like we do to protect them. And they did not have those enumerated rights to tell them, you know, this is something that we can safeguard ourselves with from the government that is trying to really put their thumb down on us. I can't tell you how many students went, yeah, it's really bad in our country, and I can tell it's really bad here, but at least you guys have your constitution. And how many people are going to be able to hear that? You don't get to hear that in your daily life. In your daily life, you don't get to go and meet people from Brazil and Germany and the UK who are facing these problems, but do not have the same protections as we do. And so many people that is lost on. They are leading their daily lives in this country, criticizing the country, which is within your right to do by your First Amendment, which you don't even value. But they do so with just a lack of knowledge as to why our Constitution exists and what it truly does for them on a daily basis, while people in international areas see it and go, wow, I wish I had that. I wish that the people who created the government system that we are in right now thought of us in this way to create a constitution that protects us like this. So hopefully that message falls on the right ears. I know a lot of you already know this. You value the constitution. You know why it's important, and you know that it should be used more to protect us. But there are so many that don't. Now, here, I believe, is a conservative take on Roe v. Wade being overturned. And let's see what this young woman has to say.
The left should blame for the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Not the Supreme Court. Not Christians. Not conservatives. Not Republicans. Not pro-lifers. The only ones they should be blaming are themselves. It is 100% their fault Roe got overturned. A lot of people, myself included at one point in time, could sympathize with the scared teenager, with the drug addict who had no business bringing a baby into this world. We could understand that we didn't like it, we didn't agree with it, but we could at least understand it. We went from safe, legal, and rare to up to the moment of birth. We gave you an inch and you took a mile. We drew the line when you decided that you should be able to murder a fully formed infant up to the moment it exits your body. You have no one to blame but yourselves. You know who the left...
Now, there is parts of this that are very, very true. I do believe that the pro-life movement has grown considerably in the wake of some of the news we've heard out of progressive states. And some of that news involves abortion into the third trimester for any reason at all, either mental, physical, or just a clear decision that a woman no longer wants her child. Now, is that the vast majority of abortions? No. I want to make that very clear, too, because a lot of pro-lifers will hop on and try to make that argument. 90% of abortions are happening before 10 weeks. Let's get that out of the way. Let's clear that up. So, but we did watch as states and many of their representatives came forth and said it should happen at any moment for any reason, as long as the woman wants it and as long as the woman advocates that that is what she wants. And a lot of people went, whoa, wait a second. Like she said, I have sympathy for the teenagers. I have sympathy for the rape, the incest. I have sympathy for the medical necessity. I have sympathy for even drug addicts who end up getting pregnant. I do not have sympathy for the third trimester abortion. And if you're going to push for that, you're going to get pushback for that. And the pro-life movement we saw grow quite a bit and become a lot more vocal as this news came out, because everybody has their line on this issue, I believe. I do believe that most people have their line on this issue where they go, we've reached a point and that's not okay. And we could probably do a 3-hour episode going through every single possible stance you could take on this issue alone, which is why when I see people who so strongly think they know exactly what they would do in any given situation and have the strongest stance on this, I question those people, as I do with any other issue where people come and say, well, I know exactly what it is that we should do, and I know the exact solution, I know exactly what we should do moving forward. Question those people. Because I can imagine that if you sat in your room for like an hour and thought about all the different situations that you could possibly be in where this issue affects you, you might start to waver a little bit on whatever your view might possibly be on this. This requires nuance. I think a brilliant moment was when Amy Coney Barrett was being questioned for her nomination onto the Supreme Court. And they did ask her about Roe versus Wade and her opinion on it. And she brought up the term super precedent, where clearly this is an issue that we struggle to come to a deciding point on, just as a nation as a whole. And you could gather 10 people off the street and ask them about this distinct issue. And I imagine not only would you get people who are pro-choice and pro-life, but even amongst those two different sects, you would get people who are on a spectrum of belief as to how and when somebody should be able to make a decision or whether or not they should be able to at all. It is a very tough thing to consider and requires to think about situations that we're probably not even capable of fathoming. And different repercussions that can come in the wake of passing legislation when it comes to this. So what I'm saying really is that the people who are making these videos, for the most part, not super helpful. The people who are taking to the streets with their funny little signs that have puns on them and rhymes on them, probably not helpful. The ladies screaming in people's faces, probably not helpful here. And what I encourage everyone to do with this news is go and have a conversation with somebody who does disagree with you on this and see if there's anywhere where you find common ground on the issue. Is there anywhere where you guys can start to understand each other? I imagine that even among the folks here at PragerU, we have over 100 employees at this company and we all have differing opinions on this issue in particular. I imagine there are people who work here who happen to be pro-choice and people who happen to be vitriolically pro-life on this, where it's just 100% I'm pro-life, and then there are people who sit in the middle of all of that. So how are we as a nation to come to a deciding factor on that? And how is it that people are angry that Roe v. Wade is overturned? That is the one thing that among all of this, all of these arguments, I will never understand. Because we have the spectrum of belief, it should be up to the states to decide what happens, which means the your voice matters now. Your vote matters now. You get to be heard rather than your Supreme Court justices making a federally legislated decision on this and telling you what it is that you can and cannot do. Should be up to your states. We should do that moving forward. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to say on the subject matter. We had plenty of other reactions and things to go through, but all is sort of lost in the sauce when we get into it. I think it all boils down to that same thought that this is a good thing. It's been overturned. Your states get to decide. You're going to hear numerous views from all across the spectrum and people who want to scream at you about this and this and that. But really, look inside yourself. Think of all the different situations you can be in. Think about what you would do in that situation. And then try to decide where you stand on that. And if that's pro-life, great. I'm right there with you. If it's pro-choice, I even understand why somebody would be. And to look at this and go, I couldn't possibly understand that. It's the wrong way to go here. And we're going to have to usher ourselves into a nation that is either A, completely divided, and we just have our states that are super progressive, like New York and in California. And then we have the ones who are really far right leaning, your Texas, your Tennessees, and that maybe that's our future. Taylor and I were talking about that today. It seems as though as we inch forward and as time goes by, you know, the different states who represent the different ideological camps that you can be in just seem to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger with whatever ideology the people who live there have. And eventually we're just going to have states that look like different countries. And they kind of already do. I'm from Florida. I moved here to California. Florida and California are essentially different countries. They are run by different people. They are inhabited by different people with completely different views and beliefs and ways of going about life. And that is reflected in the way that the state runs. It is reflected in what your lifestyle is there. And is that just the future of America, where we all move to states that reflect our specific lifestyle and the values that we have, and we allow others to do the same? Certainly, this is an issue that it does not look like in any near future we will be able to come to a consensus on, which means the spectrum of our beliefs is going to be displayed in the country that we live in, and I think through our 50 states. So let me know what you guys are thinking in the comments down below. I kind of want to go through some of your thoughts before we close out for today and just read what you guys have to say. Taylor, if you see anything, let me know.
Alrighty.
Let's see. Someone said if we continue to divide the nation, it could possibly lead to civil violence. I mean, we looked at a lot of videos today that were calling for violence, and I that would not surprise me. We've seen videos come out of some of these protests where it looks like things are getting violent. Police using tear gas on some of the protesters. I saw a video of some Republican candidate man punch his opponent in the face. Now, I don't know what led up to that video happening, but unacceptable in any form against any person, back and forth, unacceptable. And we just look at things that happen now, and I see the news and I go, okay, well, I guess we're just going to expect protests in the streets, and things are probably going to get violent, and you're going to see people screaming in each other's faces, and that's just the country we live in now. How sad is that? How sad is that that we can see news like this and go, okay, well, yep, just another day in America. Unbelievable. Let's see. Cassie Karadik says, I think the start and end of the conversation is whether you're killing a human being. Bad things happen when you start rationalizing away the humanity of people in order to accept killing them. And this was, so I, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure you all know this now, used to be pro-choice, but I would say I'm pro-choice, but I would never make that decision for myself. That would be a route that I never went down. And I had to think to myself, why is that a route that I would never go down? And why do I feel that way towards it? And so much of the time when I was getting in arguments with people who are pro-life, my stance was to invalidate the life of the child and to go, well, it's not a real life. And you'll hear this so many times. It's not a real life. It's just a clump of cells. Okay, come on now. I know I'm being disingenuous there. I know that's not exactly true, but why do I feel the need to invalidate the life of the child that is in the womb? It's because I don't feel right about making the argument from any other basis. If it was a life, I would feel wrong about it, and which sort of ushered me into pro-life territory when it came to the abortion issue and people debating about it. And that's when I realized, oh yeah, there's something off here. And when you meet people who just try to invalidate the existence of life when it comes to abortion, they're probably having that same internal struggle, which is why they feel the need to make the arguments that they make. And that's why it is sad to see people, although a very small group of people, who celebrate abortion as a procedure. It is not something to celebrate. And I give kudos to the people who are pro-choice and on the left who come forth and say, this is a hard decision to make for any woman ever who has to go through this. This is a hard decision to make, but I want to come to the table and have a discussion about whether or not it is a decision that we should leave open to women. Let's see.
I have one comment real quick from sure. Just Another Human. Says, I faced teen pregnancy and never once did the question or did abortion cross my mind. Why would I punish another human being for my own actions? Yep. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I completely agree. And if you are putting yourself in the position to where, you know, you were with whoever your partner was at the time and that resulted in pregnancy, you did make the choice. You made the assessment. And it's not like you were uneducated on what the outcomes could have been of engaging in sex with somebody else and you did not know that you could possibly get pregnant. You made that choice. And right now we live in a society that we feel like, oh, I shouldn't have accountability for any of the actions that I do. I shouldn't have to take responsibility for anything. But you do. And as parents, when you parent people, and when I parent my future kids, would you ever tell your kids, oh, no, you're not responsible for what you just did there? You don't have to see through the action that you committed and you don't have to deal with the repercussions. No, we would never do that. But now we get to tell women, oh, yeah, you get to move away from that responsibility that you created for yourself. That can't be good. And I think we're seeing that it's not good in the results that we're getting. Like, look at Gen Z, look at hookup culture, look at college kids right now. It's rampant that sex is just some frivolous thing that doesn't result in any consequences. And I have to think that a lot of the options that we have and people using abortion as contraceptives in some cases has contributed to the societal decay when it comes to the importance of making a decision like this and how it affects you and yours. So that is what I think will happen in a post-Roe society, that people will start to realize, oh no, I really have to be wise about what I do. We've been seeing articles about Gen Z is now reconsidering having sex, and I'm seeing girls going, as a form of protest, I'm not going to have sex with anybody, and I'm going to be abstinent, and I'm going to wait until I want to have kids to have sex with somebody. What a novel idea. Whoa, how crazy is that?
That'll show the conservatives.
If you wait until you meet somebody who is responsible and you wait until your finances are in order and you wait until you love somebody to engage in an act that could lead to family. Blows my mind. And we've seen these all over TikTok. There's articles about Gen Z reconsidering hookup culture and all this stuff. And although this is a serious situation, that warrants a little bit of a chuckle that now young people are going, you know, I am going to make the right choice when it comes to engaging in that activity with somebody because it could lead to a child. That's what I want to see. You know, when we talk about Roe versus Wade, I hope that most people can understand that it is not an attack on women who have been through instances of abuse, of rape, of incest, of the god-awful reality of being told that your child is going to take your life if you do not make a choice, or that both of you could die if you do not make a choice. That is horrific. But that is not the vast majority of abortions. And while those deserve consideration, in my view, some of you, I believe many of you will disagree with me on that, those situations for me deserve consideration. Women who make a decision that leads to pregnancy knowingly, and just go, well, I don't want to take on that responsibility, or this is inconvenient for me right now, or I don't have the finances, that's where I have a problem. Because you don't let something just needlessly suffer because it was an inconvenience to you for the choices that you made in your own life. So that's, I think, all I want to say on this issue. Russell Brand came out with a fantastic video on Roe versus Wade today. When Taylor and I watched that earlier, he sort of just, you know, gave an umbrella view of everything in a bird's eye view and went through all the different possible ways that we could approach this. But he said something important, and it's that, we should be trying to understand the people who think differently than we do, because we will not come to consensus. We will literally sit in this endless cycle of screaming at each other about what we want to see and what's right and what's wrong until, I don't know, we become a tornado and the whole entire country burns down. But if we're not ready to have those discussions, maybe sit it out. If you're not ready to have a discussion and to maybe compromise with people, or at least try to understand them, sit this one out. Because we have enough people who are more than willing to come and confidently spout out misinformation or start a fight or scream at each other or call them evil and call people irresponsible and all these things. Sit it out. Let's actually try to engage in conversation. If you are a left-leaning person watching right now who disagrees with anything that I've said, disagrees with my stance on the issue, or if you're a conservative who thinks they should be stronger on the issue of abortion, comment your thoughts in the chat after the show is over, and I will go through and read them. This is a particular issue that I have changed my mind on and have a completely different stance than I've had in the past. And I believe that through time, this is going to change for a lot of people. You're going to meet pro-lifers who go pro-choice, as I've seen videos on the internet today of people talking about that. You're going to see pro-choicers go pro-life as our nation just increasingly gets educated on this issue in particular. And it requires nuance, and it does require compromise in many cases. So again, let me know your thoughts down below in the comments after the show is done so I can go and check them out later. Thank you guys so much for watching, and please subscribe. like, click the notification bell to be notified when we go live. That is every day now for about 3 p.m. Pacific to 6 p.m. Eastern. And we go for about an hour or so talking to you guys about hot and pressing topics. I imagine the topic of Roe versus Wade is going to dominate the news for at least a couple weeks. And we'll see what happens. I'll try to keep you posted on other things. We'll try to talk about other subjects and hopefully make this channel a safe haven away from the arguments that are constantly dominating the news cycle. But thank you guys so much for watching, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye.